A new series tonight. You know, because we are humans, we live in a broken planet, and we all experience problems and losses and defeats and griefs and hurts and setbacks. And what I want to do over the next few weeks is show you different people in the Bible and how they came back from a setback. And they're the things that we experience usually day by day by day. And tonight what I want to talk to you about is when you face a setback that seems irreversible. In other words, you think, that's it. This is the door is closed. It's shut down. There's no hope. It just seems irreversible. What do you do when the setback seems to be permanent? It looks irreversible. You think to yourself, I'm never going to climb out of this hole. Well, you know what I think about the answer to that question, and it's found in the Bible by a man named Job. There's a whole book in the Bible by Job. When I first became a Christian, a young believer, I thought that was the book of Job, but it's the book of Job. And the way you find it is to go to the Psalms and go left, and it's the very next book. There's probably the oldest book in the Bible. It was written by Job about a man named Job. Now, I mentioned him briefly last week as I was closing. Job was the wealthiest man in the world, but in one stroke, one day, he lost his entire family, his sons, his daughters. The next day, he lost all of his crops. He lost all of his wealth. He lost all of his reputation. And then, if things weren't bad enough, he had an incurable disease. And things just seemed irreversible. And he lost it all in one day, all of his wealth. Can you imagine how that month? Now, you talk about having a bad day. That's a bad life. And if you want to read that story and all the stuff behind it, I want to encourage you to do that this week. It's all in the book of Job. But everything you can think of went wrong in his life. That's a real setback. And it seemed irreversible. In the book of Job, chapter 30, Job says this. Look at it with me. I look for good to come, but evil came instead. And I waited for some light, but darkness fell instead. And the churning inside of me, you know, that upset stomach, that Pepto-Bismol needed stomach type thing. The churning inside of me never stops. And the waves of misery, or some translations say the waves of affliction, crash over me. I want to tell you something. As bad as that sounds, God did for Job one of the greatest comebacks in all of history. He lost his health, his wealth. That's a real setback. Everything went wrong. But in the end, he gained it all back, even in a greater way. And now the story was written to encourage you that no matter what setback you're experiencing today, you too can have a comeback. And what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to look at five things that in the life of Job, and I used a little acrostic, trust, T-R-U-S-T. Because even though Job had a setback that seemed irreversible, he learned to trust God in the middle of that setback. And the five things that God did to trust, number one, write this down. Tell God exactly how I feel. That's the T in trust, the acrostic T. That's where you start. You've had a major setback. What do? You start by unloading your emotions on God. The first thing you do, if you're in pain, tell God I'm in pain. If you're in grief, tell God I'm in grief. If you're having bad emotions, tell God, I'm hurting. Just speak it out to God. Tell Him that. Sometimes we feel like we can't tell God how we actually feel, but He already knows. So you might as well go ahead and tell Him, because you know that when God listens to you, God wants you to be honest. God wants you to be authentic. And God wants you to be honest about your emotions. And did you know that when you vent your emotions, sometimes that's actually an act of worship? Even when you're expressing disappointment, even when you're expressing frustration. God, I'm afraid. God, I'm guilty. God, I'm frustrated. God, I'm disappointed. God, I can't stand this any longer. I can't stand what I'm going through. Speak it out to God. Look at Job's response to the disaster in his life. Job 1:20 says this about Job. Job stood up and he tore his robes in grief. Now that was a Middle Eastern custom. They would tear their clothes in grief and then shave their heads. I'm glad we don't do that here. That's about the only thing I have left going for me is my hair. So I'm glad we don't have to shave our heads when we go through a tough time. But that was the custom back then. He's acting in total humility. He's acting in despair and in doubt and frustration. And any time you or I have a loss in our lives, we're going to have emotions. We're going to have anger. Lord, why did this happen to me? What, God, why did you let this happen? We can even say, Lord, I can't even believe that this is going on right now. And you know what happens? You're going to have fear. And you know what happens next? You know what? You need to express every one of those emotions to God. You don't need to hold them in. You don't need to repress them. You don't need to put on a fake face and say, dear God, I'm so happy about all of this. No. You don't have to do that. You tell God what you're feeling. God, I'm frustrated. God, I'm scared. You tell him exactly how you feel. And let me tell you a little secret here. Some of you, and you've heard me say this before, but listen, God can handle any emotion you've got. And you know why? Because he gave them to you. God, when he created you, made you in the image of God, and he made you with emotions. That's why we're different from animals. God has given us emotions. God knows that. Job 7 verse 11. He says, I can't be quiet. I'm angry. I have to speak. In other words, God, I'm ticked off at you. You ever felt that way? God, I'm angry at you. I mean, think about it. He actually lost everything. Devastated. Devastated. And he's expressing his confusion here. You ever felt like that? Lord, what in the world is going on in my life? Lord, why is this happening? That's the first thing he did. And then number two, he starts complaining. And he starts blaming God for all of his pain. And at one point he says, God, you didn't do this right. God, you handled it wrong. You let all this bad stuff happen to me. And God, I don't like it. And God, I don't like you right now. Can I tell you, God can handle that emotion? Can I tell you, God can handle that when you tell him that? Look at Lamentations chapter 2, verse 19. Cry out in the night. Pour out your heart like water. What does that mean? Spill your guts. Pour out your heart to God like water in prayer. Because with God, honesty is always the best policy. Let him know exactly how you're feeling. And at this end of this story, you'll find that God actually encourages Job because he did this first thing, the T, in trust. He told God exactly how he feels. Now, you know, I could give you many, many examples in the Bible of godly people who at one time or another had to express their frustration to God. One time there was a guy named Jeremiah. You know, the book of Jeremiah is written by him. And he got upset with what God did. He even said, God, you deceived me. Now here's a prophet of God. And he's saying, God, you deceived me. Things haven't turned out the way that you told me they were going to turn out. And guess what? God allowed that in the Bible. Another time there was a woman named Naomi. And things didn't work out for her so well. And she says, call me bitter because God has made my life bitter. That's in the Bible. That was her emotion. That's what she's feeling at that time. And then there was another guy named David who says, Lord, I've taken the worst from you. And I've taken all that you've gave to me. And I'm fed up. I've had it. And God says, you're a man after my own heart. You see, these people were trusting God to handle their emotions. And Job did that as well. You know, there's another guy in the Bible named Habakkuk. How would you like to be named Habakkuk? Well, that was his name. He had the same problem. And Habakkuk wrote a book in the Bible. It's a very short book. It's near the end of the Old Testament. It's three chapters. It's called the book of, yes, Habakkuk. That's right. It's called the book of Habakkuk. And it's only three chapters. And you can summarize the whole book in three words. Why me, God? Why me? Lord, why is this happening to me? Have you ever expressed your frustration to God? That's the first step. Tell God what you're feeling. And now, number two, the R in trust to have a comeback. Refuse to become bitter. Refuse to become bitter. Now, it's okay to tell God you're mad or you're sad or you're angry or you're depressed. But what you have to be careful about is you cannot let that grief, that frustration, that negative energy turn into resentment or bitterness. Because bitterness is saying, in essence, I don't trust you, God. Bitterness is saying, Lord, I don't see the big picture. Lord, I don't understand what you're doing, and I'm not just mad. I'm now become bitter about it. I'm resentful about it. And guess what bitterness is like? It's like poison. Poison. Now, Job did not get bitter, thank God. Job saw the big picture, and for some of you today, you're going to see the big picture that Job is talking about right here. You're going to read the book of Job. And you're going to see the big picture that God is still in control. Look in Job chapter 1 verse 21. Everything bad happened to him. He said, I came naked from my mother's womb and I shall have nothing when I die. Now let me just pause right here and say, you know, when all my children were born, that's how none of them came into the world with a suitcase. They came in naked. They didn't bring their toys. They didn't bring their suitcase. They didn't bring their bookcase with them. They didn't bring their briefcase. They came in naked. And you know, I've driven many times to the graveyard and I've never seen a U-Haul trailer parked next to a gravestone. Never once. So my friend, it's true. He's right. Naked you will come into the world and naked you will leave. So notice what he says. The Lord gave me everything I have. And they were his to take anything anyway. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said in all of this, and I want you to underline this right here. Job did not sin by blaming God. Wow. Now, if you study the book of Job, you will find that the main question in the book of Job is, can you be able to worship God? The ultimate test of your faith is, can you worship God even though everything may be going wrong in your life? Because you were not promised a perfect life. None of us are. And so you're able to worship God and say, Lord, I don't know. I don't understand why this is happening. Folks, this is where the rubber meets the road. I'm not one of these preachers that teach you become a Christian, you'll never have a problem again. Becoming a Christian, a born again saved believer, may be the beginning of your problems. Because the devil doesn't like the direction you're going in. So there are going to be trials. But when you can worship God, when you can praise God and say, Lord, I don't get the big picture. That's what Job is saying. Lord, I don't understand it all, but I trust that God is good. Life is not always good, but God is always good. And Job said, when I'm in the presence of God in eternity, one of these days, then I'm going to fully understand it. But right now, my brain isn't big enough to comprehend it. Now, how do you trust God when your heart is breaking? How do you put your eyes on God when your eyes are filled with tears? What is the antidote to bitterness? The antidote, now listen carefully, is actually praise. Worship. What is worship? You remember a month or so ago we talked about worship? Worship is what? Focusing on God. You see, we as Christians need to learn how to be thankful no matter what happens, because there are certain things that are bedrock foundational truths that we can stand on no matter what is happening in our life. Let me just run through a few of them. I put a few of them on your outline. God will never stop loving me. That's a big deal. Number two, God has a plan for my life and a plan for your life. Number three, look at it. God cares about every detail of my life and yours. Number four, God is in control of things even when I don't understand it. And number five, God will protect me. Folks, these are things that I and you can build your life on. When things are happening in your life, you don't understand. But you know, God is here. God is near. God cares. God is powerful. And God can change it. And God has a plan and a purpose. And somehow God is going to use it all for good. You know, earlier I mentioned Habakkuk. The little 3-chapter book of the Bible. They're all about the question, why God? Look at this verse on your outline. I think it's on the bottom there. Habakkuk 3. Here's what Habakkuk said. This is strong stuff. Here's what Habakkuk said when he had a setback that seemed irreversible. Listen to what he said. Even though the fig leaves have no fruit, and no grapes grow on the vine. And even though the olive crop fail, and the fields produce no grain, and even though all the sheep die and the cattle stalls are empty. What's he saying? He said, everything in my life is a disaster. But notice what he says. I'll still be what? Joyful and glad, because the Lord God is my Savior. Wow. What are you bitter about tonight? Where is there a root of bitterness that you've allowed to take place in your life? Let it go. God is setting you up for a comeback, but you've got to tell God exactly how you feel, and then you've got to release the bitterness and say, Lord, even though I understand it, even though all these things are going wrong, yet will I praise you. I'll keep my eyes on you no matter what's happening all around me. And I'll let go of the bitterness. Third thing here, the you in trust. You. Unite with other people. Write this down. Unite with other people who will help me focus on God. Unite with, when you need a comeback, unite with other people who will help me focus on God. Now I want you to get this, because this is very important. For your comeback, you're going to need other people of faith to back you up. You're going to need other people in your life who actually believe God for you, even when your faith is shaky, even when you're full of doubt. You need people who will have your back, people that will be a safety net when you've had a setback. And one of the things we're tempted to do in times like this is we have a setback. We want to isolate ourselves. But listen to me. God never intends for you to go through life on your own. The worst thing you can do when you're going through tough times is to isolate yourself. Even though you're going through a grief, a sorrow, a tragedy, a loss, a difficulty, He made us for each other. We are wired beings, human beings who need each other. The first thing God said when He created man was, He said, it's not good for man to be alone. When I have a setback, when you have a setback, when you're going through pain or suffering or sorrow or sadness or a problem, our natural reaction is to withdraw, to go into a shell, to build a raw wall about ourselves, to put up those walls. And one of Job's friends gave this advice to Job. It was wise advice. Look on your outline. Job 36. He says to Job, his friend, don't let your anger and the pain that you're endured make you sneer at God. Reputation and riches cannot protect you from distress, nor can you find safety in the dark world below. Now, some scholars believe he's referring there to the occult. Don't turn to evil as a way of escape. God's power is unlimited. Others have praised God for what He has done. So join with them. Now, if you're taking notes, I want you to circle that little phrase, join with them. He says, other people have praised God. Join with them. That's how you're going to make it. You've got to unite with others who are going to support you and encourage you and pray for you and have your back and stand up for you. Now, the first piece of advice his friend tells him is never use evil to escape pain. He said, you know, don't try to avoid it by doing drugs, by getting drunk, by doing something foolish. You know, a lot of people become self-destructive when they're in pain. They know it's wrong, but they still do it anyway because they're trying to relieve the pain. They're trying to escape from the pain. And you know what? It only makes the problem worse. Second, Job's friend said a better alternative is to increase the amount of time you spend hanging out with God's people. He says, join with them. Get with God's people who are praising Him, God's people who are focusing on God. That's what worship is. And He says, join with them when you're confused, when you're down. Join with others and praise God. And if you turn away, what's the alternative? Bitterness, despair, hopelessness. Look at 1 Chronicles 16:11 on your outline. Go to the Lord for help and worship Him. That means focus on God. Focus on God's goodness. As I said earlier, life is not always good, but God is always good. And when you're asking God for a comeback from something that seems irreversible, you've got to do those two things right there. Don't turn to evil and join with other people. Unite with other people. And then thirdly, ask God for wisdom so that you can have a clear perspective of what direction you need to go in. Ask God for strength because you're going to need wisdom and you're going to need strength in your comeback. Look at Job 12:13. True wisdom and real power belong to God. From Him we learn how to live and also what to live for. You see, you need God's wisdom. And then look at 1 Chronicles 16:11. Go to the Lord for help and worship Him. Did you know that worshiping God actually relaxes you? When you're praising God in your car like we were doing just a few moments ago, worship gives you strength. Worship relaxes you. Worship helps you focus on God. Look at Psalm 69. Those who worship God will be encouraged. So if you want to come back from a setback, then you need to start worshiping God and you need to do what David did. He went to church, Psalm 63. David said, here I am in the place of worship, eyes open, drinking in your strength and glory. You know, you put your eyes on God. And when you put your eyes on God, your problems get smaller. But if you put your eyes on your problems get bigger. So he says, by worshiping, praising, focus on God. You know, that even happened to the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. Look at it. Paul was saying this to the Philippian Christians, because you're praying for me and the Spirit of Christ is helping me, I know this trouble will bring me my freedom. Circle that word freedom. What is Paul saying here? He's saying prayer is the path to come back. Prayer is the path to come back. And if you want God to do something wonderful in your life, then you need to be prayed for. You need to pray for yourself. You need to let other people pray for you. And you need to let other people support you. And when your faith is shaky and weak, they'll hold you up. They'll gird you up. Now, let me give you the I. T-R-U-S. Write this down. Surrender. Not I. S. Surrender. Surrender my future to God. Write that down. That is exactly what Job did in his comeback. Anytime you have a loss, anytime you have a failure or setback, it can paralyze you. And what paralyzes you, though, is actually not the grief. Grief can be a good thing if you've been it. Blessed are those that mourn. What really sets you back is when you get fear, because fear paralyzes you. And fear of the future can really paralyze you. And sometimes when you've had a setback and maybe you were given the wrong advice and it turned out to be wrong, then you're even more fearful. Maybe it was people you trusted or family members. Maybe they gave you the wrong advice. And fear begins to come upon you. And you know, in Job's case, he got some bad advice from his wife. Look at this in Job 2, verse 9 and 10. It says this. Look at it on your outline. Job's wife said to him, "Are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Why don't you just curse God and die? Just end it." Now, this may be the first recorded incident of encouraging a suicide. But you know what? She was dead wrong. Dead wrong on this one. Notice what he said. Job said, "You talk like a godless woman." That's calling it like it is. Should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad? So in all of this, Job said nothing. Now notice Job's response to the problem. When you have a setback in your life that seems irreversible, here's the secret. Total surrender. Job said, "Lord, I don't like it. God, I don't understand it. I don't know why I've had this major loss." But look what he said in Job 13:15. "Even if God takes my life," is one of the most famous verses in the Bible. If God takes my life, I will still trust him. You've heard it in the old King James version. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." That is surrender, my friends. No matter what happens in my life, I may not understand it, but I belong to God, and I know these things are true. Those things we talked about a moment ago. That God made me. That God loves me. That God has my best interests in his heart. And I know that God is in control. And even though I do not understand everything that's taking place in my life here and now, I know that one day, I am going to go eternally, eternally to be with God in heaven. My friend, those are some things that can give you hope and encouragement when you've lost everything. I know God is a good God, and I don't understand it, and it doesn't look good, and it's not good. And I'm in a lot of pain. But God, I'm still going to trust you because I know your character. I know the kind of God you are, and I know what you've got planned for me in heaven. Friends, that is the ultimate expression of mature faith. How mature is your faith? Is it fair weather faith? that you can only trust God when everything's going good? Is it wimpy faith where you can only trust God when everything's going your way? Or is it the mature faith of a man or woman of God who can handle setbacks? Or do you just flake out? What happens? By the way, do you know how you know when you have weak faith? You know what the sign is of weak faith? Worry. Amen or oh me. Worry. Worry is the warning light that your faith is weak. Matthew 6:32 in the CEV translation says this: people who don't trust God are always worrying. See, when you have a setback in your life, you are either going to worry or you're going to worship. And the more you worship, the more you focus your life on God, the less you're going to have to worry about in your comeback. It's that simple. Now, the final T. Trust God. Write this down. Trust God for every detail of my comeback. Trust God for every detail of my comeback. You have to trust Jesus to turn your setback into a comeback. Look at this great verse that Jesus promises us. John 16:33. He says, by trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply and at peace. In this world, you will continue to experience difficulties, but take heart because I have conquered the world. Yes, indeed. That is my path to a comeback. That is the promise of Jesus Christ. And that is what Job did when he lost everything. He lost his family. He lost his health. He lost his wealth. He lost his influence. But he trusted God. And he experienced the greatest comeback imaginable. Look at the last verse on your outline. And then I'm through. Job 42 verse 10. Here's how the story ends. We looked at this briefly last week. After Job prayed for his friends, what you want from others, you got to pray for them. Why was he doing this? Because he knew that God would take care of him when he prayed for his friends. Look at it again. After Job prayed for his friends, the Lord gave him success again. Now that's the comeback. Look at it. In fact, the Lord restored to Job twice as much, double of everything that he'd been blessed with before. I don't know about you, my friend, but that is a comeback. God doubles what he lost in the setback. The comeback, because God is a faithful God. And in the middle of his troubles, Job trusted God's goodness. Now, how would you like to have double for your trouble? That's what happened to Job. He got double for his trouble. And there's only one person that can do that. And his name is Jesus Christ. Now, I want to lead you in prayer, a comeback prayer. Would you bow your head for just a moment? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want you to tell God how you feel. Tell God you're going to refuse to be bitter. Tell God you're going to trust Him. No matter what, even when you don't understand it, you're going to trust Him. And you're going to unite with other believers who will help you focus on God, because you need more worship in your life. And you're going to surrender. Pray something like this. Dear God, I surrender my future to you. Lord, I don't know what it is, but I surrender. I'm not going to worry about it anymore. And then the last T, pray something like this, just in your mind. Jesus, I'm going to trust you with every detail of my comeback. I trust Jesus for my future. I trust Jesus to get me out of this mess. I'm trusting Jesus for the next step in my comeback. Are you praying that? Father, thank you tonight for these wonderful promises. It encourages us on a hot Sunday afternoon to know that no matter what we're going through, you are Almighty God. And you will never leave us. You will never forsake us. You will stand by us. And when the storms of life are raging, Lord, you'll get in the boat with us. And you'll take us safely to our comeback, our destination. We praise you for that. We thank you for that. We love you tonight. And we trust you. In Jesus' name. Now I want us to stand for just a moment. And we're